Book of Hebrews is something you can study for months and months and years and years. It's a tremendous book, and I praise God for it. I never preached through it. I've preached in it all over and never got it preached out. Amen. But I haven't any of the other books either as well. Amen. Just so many there. We're going to the first chapter, and we'll stand together and read the first three verses. These first three verses, most of you can quote them. I use them tremendously and lots of times in looking at it. And we'll just, it'll be kind of an overview tonight in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1 starts off with God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now we've been dealing a little bit with that. The Bible said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, this is talking about the Son now, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You can be seated. And let's pray tonight together. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. We thank you tonight for a privilege of opening the divine Word of God. Lord, may you give us words of comfort and words of strength and words of encouragement tonight from the pages of this blessed book. Lord, give us something tonight that will run with us in the course of the next days that we are to face. Lord, you know what it takes to run the race. And Lord, you know what the battle is ahead of us. And I pray tonight that your perfect will might be done, and your hand might be seen tonight in the midst of the congregation. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. Lord, I pray anoint us to preach, and Father, tonight teach the Word of God. And may we declare it with all its purity, and not, Lord, add anything to it nor take anything away from it, but rightly divide it. And Lord, give it that tonight which is due unto it, God, the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to look at the Word of God here. And the book of Hebrews is so tremendous. I'll just say this and getting ahead of it. We'll find in the first, well, all the way through the book of Hebrews, that Hebrews makes Christ superior to all and to everything. Matter of fact, in the first chapter, you'll find that Christ is superior in the first verse here to the prophets. He's superior and a greater than the angels. You'll find that in the next few chapters, the first few chapters of the book of Hebrews. Then you'll find out that he's superior to Moses. He speaks of Moses in here in this book. You'll find out he's superior to Joshua. He's mentioned there too in the Word of God. You'll find out that he's superior to Aaron, the high priest, because he is our great high priest. We'll find out in this book of Hebrews that he's superior to Judaism, or the worship the Jews had in the Old Testament. And then you'll find out even in chapter 11 that he's superior to the Old Testament saints, all of them. Amen. Even though they suffered and stood strong and true to God, he's superior to them. And we'll find that the book of Hebrews is a book of better things. And there are several better things. And you look these up when you get home, it'd be a blessing, amen, to look at it. But I want us to go over just a little bit into the first three verses. And pay attention. Verse number 1 talks about God. Now we're talking about God the Father. Verse number 2 talks about the Son. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and who's appointed the heir of all things, and he's the one who's made the worlds. John 1. Amen. And the Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You know the story? Amen. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Then in verse number 3, he said, who being the brightness of his glory? Who? He's the brightness of the glory of God. Amen. If anybody's going to find anything out about God the Father, they're going to have to get it through the Son. God has never had another way to show himself. The Bible said the only begotten Son, he hath declared him. Amen. Out of the book of John. So I want to tell you, and the book of Hebrews, the priesthood is taught more than any other New Testament book. It's taught in other places, but mainly out of the book of Hebrews. Now, I ask you a question. I've said this before, and let's see if you can remember it. What book is equivalent in the Old Testament to the book of Hebrews in the New? Somebody tell me right quick. All right. See, some of you done forgot. What? Book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus in the Old Testament is equivalent to the book of Hebrews in the New. Amen. And the reason you probably don't remember that is because the book of Leviticus is not one of them favorite books of the Old Testament to you. Amen. Yet, we're fixing to get into some of the studies of the new in the Old Testament of the book of Leviticus. Amen. Some folks don't read Leviticus simply because it's kind of boring. Amen. It depends on how deep settled you are in the sacrifice, amen, of Calvary and what they stand for, whether the book of Leviticus will stir your heart or not. So we know that we'll find much about the priesthood. Also, the book of Hebrews gives us a lot of warnings. He gives some warnings about falling into apostasy, and it tries to get us to stay, in the gap and make up the hedge for God out of the book of Hebrews. And then it's also talking and telling us many times to warn us to be steadfast and unmovable. Amen. I know that's mentioned in another place, but he wants us to persevere. And I'll give you some scriptures on that in just a little bit. But now, we read something here in verse number 3, that I want to point out to you and point this out in the scriptures. Where is Christ tonight? Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Did you see that? We read that in verse number 3. I just went in a place of business today, and as I walked through the place of business, walking out, and people always are hollering at me when they know, see me. And I just going out, wasn't paying no attention. Somebody said, "The preacher," and I said, looked over, this lady sitting over, and she said, "You know, the Lord is saving lots of people today by miracles." And here the whole place is full, and I said to myself, if I get involved in this, I'm going to hurt somebody real good. And I don't mean to, so I'm going to keep my mouth just as shut as I can get it. And I said, you know, just being saved is a miracle. Praise God. I said, just being born again, that's a miracle. Now this lady, she knows how I preach. She knows what I believe. She's been here several times. And she knows what I stand for. And I'll tell you what, all she was wanting to do was argue with me. Amen. And so I wasn't going to talk about it. Amen. I'm not getting people saved by miracles. Amen. It's a miracle. I'm getting them saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to mention just a little bit of thought to you here in a moment. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Now, we've got multitudes today that thinks that Jesus is revealing himself to people. Now, we know that. I've heard this is all over the country. And he's revealing himself. Now, to do that, he's got to listen, he's not going to leave the throne of God and come back down here and reveal himself. Amen. How's he going to reveal himself? Through the Word of God, the preaching, and through the Spirit of God. Where's Jesus? I want you to know. Where's he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. He was there yesterday. Amen. He was there the day before yesterday, by the way. He was there last month. He's been there 2,000 years now at the right hand of the Father, just a little bit over. Amen. And he'll be there tomorrow unless he decides to get up tonight. And comes back. And matter of fact, does he decide? No. The Father looked over at him and said, it's time. He don't even know the time himself. Amen. You said you got Bible, got the Word of God on it. We ain't got time to get into it right now, but we got the Bible on it. And Jesus is going to come back in the clouds in the air to get you and me out of here. Amen. Thank God for it. But I want to share this with you. Somebody said, where's Jesus at? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father. You said, where do you find that? Just give it to you here. But just show you. And Hebrews wants to make sure that we know this. I want you to take your Bible now to chapter 1 and verse 13. We done found it here in verse number 3. But look at verse number 13 of chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews. He said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now you've got to get the context of this, and I'm not going to separate that now. We're going to come back and preach on that sometimes. But here's what he's saying. These angels are inferior to the Son of God. He's greater than the angels. Christ is greater than all. And so we look here tonight, and he said, now what about it? And he said, which of these angels has Jesus said, sit at my right, has God said, sit at my right hand? None. Who's got the privilege? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. When he said it's finished, he paid redemption's price. So we find in verse number 13, and you have to look at that and read between the lines a little bit and see it tonight, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 1. Mark these places in your Bible. Hey, this is good to understand and to see it. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, he said, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is what? Set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now who is that high priest? Jesus Christ. Where's he at? At the right hand of the majesty. Who's the majesty? God. Amen. There's another verse. Now go over to chapter 10 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 12. Now I'm just looking at the book of Hebrews. You want to find any of these others, you go home and find them. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 12. The Bible said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Now who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. He said, the next sentence is, sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. There it is again. Where's he at? Right hand of Father. Chapter 12, verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2. I want you to follow it out of the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. Amen. The book is right. Amen. A fella called me up just the other day, a friend of ours, and he said somebody asked him where, or told him there's a certain thing in the Scriptures, and he really couldn't explain to me what they said, and I couldn't catch on what it was, because he said, preacher, I ain't never heard it. And I said to myself, to him, I hadn't heard it either, but somebody had read something they thought, or read a certain thing. Now, I don't want you just to say the Bible says this, or at least I think it does. I want you to know what it says. So in chapter 12, in verse number 2, the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, he'll stop it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Praise God, that's enough for me to know where he's at tonight. Ain't that right? Praise God. I'm glad the Lord's got us some things here going. Now, I want to kind of pick up, this is a heavenly book. Did you know Hebrews is a heavenly book? Amen. All 65 other books are too. But here's a heavenly book, and it talks about heavenly things. Let's look at some of the heavenly things out of the book of Hebrews for a moment. First of all, go back to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going from chapter to chapter, verse to verse, here and there. And then we can sit down and begin to go at it from chapter to chapter, verse to verse, and have a study in the book of Hebrews. Amen. But let's look at this. We'll find out in chapter 3, verse number 1. He said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now this book centers around Christ. Amen. Brother, he's a central theme. But did you see that? We got a heavenly calling. Praise God. In chapter 3, verse 1, we have a heavenly calling. Somebody said, preacher, I ain't never been called. Why, I hope you have. Amen. You know, I'm not talking about calling to preach. Amen. The day that the Lord sent the gospel message to you, he sent out a gospel call. He gave you a gospel invitation. He gave you strict orders to come, or an invitation to come. And so tonight we have a heavenly calling. Praise God. I like that. Brother, he called me to salvation. I'm still looking for another call when he says, come up hither. Amen. What a blessing it's going to be to have a heavenly calling. We've got that heavenly calling. Then go with me into chapter number 6. In chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews, I want you to notice verse number 4. In the book of Hebrews 6 and verse number 4. Said, for it is impossible. Notice these words. I'm coming back to them, Lord willing, tonight. He said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. He said, look at this. Amen. He talked about it. Amen. A heavenly what? Gift. Did you see it in there? We've got a heavenly calling. We've got a heavenly gift. We are saved by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a what? Gift of God. That's a heavenly gift. Amen. I've had some good gifts by people down through the years, but the best gift I ever had was the gift from heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that moved into my soul and saved me. Amen. Praise His name tonight. Now go to in chapter 8. In chapter 8, with me please, to verse number 5. The Bible said in chapter 8, and verse number 5, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now we have some heavenly things. Now, he showed Moses the tabernacle, told him how to build it. But amen, we're not under the tabernacle. We're not under the law. We have a new covenant. We have a new way tonight. Amen. We have a new testament, and we thank God for it. But we do have some heavenly things. I thought about this afternoon some things and jotted down a few of them, but I'm not going to give them to you now. There's some heavenly things that we have. You go home tonight, see if you can't think of some heavenly things the Lord gave you. Amen. I'm not talking about a car and a pair of shoes and a coat either. Amen. I'm talking about heavenly things. Amen. A shoes and cars and that sort of things, earthly things. God give you earthly things. But stop and think about the heavenly things that God has given you. Amen. You'll be in better shape if you start thinking on heavenly things that God's done for you than thinking about the earthly things that you've helped get. And maybe the Lord didn't have much to do with it. As far as you're concerned, He had it every bit to do with it. But you may think you've earned some of it and paid for some of it. But everything you've got tonight, God give it to you. Whether it be physical, spiritual, or mental, whatever it is, God give it to you. Amen. You said, I'm a pretty good fella about being smart. I got a pretty good IQ. Well, brag on yourself. Pat yourself on the back. But you know what? God is the one who put a brain in your skull. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. All right, let's look at something else. The Bible talks about in chapter 11, verse 16. Verse 16, chapter 11. Amen. That faith chapter. The Bible said in it, it said, but now they desire a better country. There's some of them better things. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. What are we talking about? We're talking about a heavenly country. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes I kid people and I say, hey, over here where we live, this is God's country. And they'll say, well, I live so and so. And I said, you live in Egypt. Amen. This is Canaan. Amen. And I'll tell you something. That's what I tell people jokingly. But listen, this is not a heavenly country. Amen. I'm like Abraham. I'm still looking for one. Thank God we've got the promise of a heavenly country. You study the book of Hebrews, it kind of gets you excited about going home. Amen. Tells you got something besides this world. Somebody said, boy, I ain't got much, ain't got nothing, and I just got just enough to get by. How much do you need anyhow? Amen. You just need enough to get you out of this world. That's all right. You come in this world with nothing. Everybody in this building's got more than you had when you got here. If you left now, amen, praise God. You look like you're doing pretty good. Praise God. Just looking at you. But you come in this world with nothing. Amen. And you're going to take nothing with you. But thank God you got a few things in between there. God's been good to us all. Now, let's go a little further. We not only find tonight a heavenly country, but look at chapter 12 and verse 22. Chapter 12 and verse 22 said, but ye are come under Mount Zion and under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now we got a heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. I'm glad I can be part of a heavenly Jerusalem. I'm never part of an earthly Jerusalem. Have you? I've never been a part of that. But thank God I'm a part of a heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. What is it? John looked and he saw that city coming down out of heaven. Amen. Four square, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall, 15 miles long. Hey, he saw a four square city, a new Jerusalem. Amen. Praise God, I got a ticket. Amen. I'm not going to give you mine either. Praise God, you better get your own. Amen. We got a heavenly Jerusalem to go to. And then I think about another. And I just want to throw this in because in verse number 23, this don't say nothing about heavenly, but I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. In verse 23, he said, to the general assembly. Amen. Are you familiar with the general assembly? When I think about the general assembly, I think about them folks meeting at the Capitols and the White House and all them places. But did you know tonight I'm a member of the General Assembly? And he said, and Church of the Firstborn. Praise God. I mean, that's heavenly too, isn't it? Amen. Well, I praise God for it. Well, the book of Hebrews is a book of heavenly things. It's a book of eternal things. Look with me in chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm just giving you a few things to jot down, to look at. When you get home, kind of dig on it and chew on it. And see if it won't let you grow a little bit in the grace of God. You got to get a little idea of these books. Sometimes we get the book of Hebrews and, oh, that book of Hebrews is a dead book. That book of Hebrews is a dull book. That book of Hebrews is a hard book to understand. But you got to get the concept of what God's trying to do. We're His people and He's trying to teach us some things. All right. In chapter number 5 and verse number 9 of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5 and verse 9, he said, in being made perfect, he became the author of, what's those next two words? Eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He didn't say that he became salvation, or the author of salvation, but the author of eternal salvation. That ought to be good enough for this crowd that's run up and down the country, believe you lose your salvation. What kind of salvation does God give? Eternal salvation. Praise God, I'm glad I got that eternal kind. I don't lose it. You don't lose it. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I just hope that I'm saved. If you're at the place tonight, you hope you're saved and guessing that you are saved and wondering if you are saved, there's a good indication tonight that you're not saved. You've got a real strong possibility that you've never been to the family, got into the family of God. And hey, I want to tell you, I wouldn't trust dying with that kind of religion tonight. Amen. I'd be doing something about it. But look here. He said eternal salvation. So we find the Hebrews has got the eternal salvation. Chapter 6, verse number 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal what? Judgment. Hebrews talks about an eternal judgment. I believe in that. Amen. Now some of these people are going knocking on the door of a feller sitting on the inside and confessing their sins and sliding a few dollars under, thinking they're going to get their sins forgiven. Amen. And then won't even get things straightened out. And then they've been taught by that same crowd that you can die and go to a place that's not even recorded in the Word of God. And somebody can pray you out of that if you'll just give them enough money. Amen. I want to tell you right now, it takes Jesus Christ to save you. Brother, it takes Jesus Christ to rescue you. And if you don't get rescued and saved by Christ, you go to hell. Amen. And in hell, you lift your eyes like the rich man. There's no in-between ground called purgatory. Amen. I listened on the news and they said, and they were really bragging about this movie that's going to be put out over the weekend on killing Jesus. And some of y'all are probably so excited you can't hardly wait to see it. But I'm going to tell you something. And it's put out by O'Reilly, or ain't it Bill O'Reilly, wasn't it? Amen, huh? Bill, all right, whatever it is. And somebody wrote him one day and said, did you know that nobody killed Jesus? Said he willingly laid down his life and willingly took it up again. And I listened to Bill O'Reilly say something, and brother, he really criticized that man and put him down. But I heard Bill O'Reilly say this today. He said there's two reasons why Jesus was killed. One was for money, and the other was for political reasons. And I said to myself, you don't even know what you're talking about. Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life. Nobody killed Jesus. Nobody. Amen. Amen. He laid down his life and he took it up again. He came into the world to do one thing, and that's to die for my sin and yours. If you change that, brother, you're changing the gospel message, and you're changing God's truth. But I'm telling you, there is an eternal judgment. Now, go a little further. In chapter 9 and verse number 12, the Bible said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. Praise God. I'm glad that we got the eternal kind of redemption. Redemption, redeeming, bought us back out of the slavery of sin. Amen. Brother, I'm glad he bid for our soul, won our soul, bought our soul, paid for our price, or paid our price and paid the debt. Stamped it full. It is finished. Amen. Paid in full. Amen. So we have eternal redemption. In chapter 9 and verse 14, the Bible said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. Amen. The Bible said that. Yet without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I'm here to tell you we have an eternal Spirit. Amen. Isn't that good to know that this is a book of eternal things? Then over in chapter 9 and 15, verse 15, the next verse down. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal what? Inheritance. Amen. Praise God, that means I'm going to inherit something, and it's going to be mine forever. Praise God. They can give you an inheritance down here. They can leave you a house, and then you'll have to keep the, amen, the termites from eating it up, and you'll have to change the roof on it every once in a while and fix some of the water pipes and maybe change out the carpet and, amen, patch a window up every now and then. But, amen, and then after a while, the best you can do, you're either going to have to rebuild it or keep it going, and it's going to fade away. But I'm glad I got myself an inheritance tonight that is eternal. That means when he gives it to me, and he already has, amen, I'm glad tonight that it will not have to be repaired. I got an inheritance. It will never be able to spend all the inheritance that God gives you. Never run out. It'll never diminish. Praise God. That's Bible truths. Now, we appreciate that. Well, if you wanted to go a little bit further with that, you could go over into the book of Peter, and he talks about eternal glory. If you want to go a little further than that, you can go to John, and John talks about eternal life, and you go back before the book of Hebrews, and you find the word eternal life mentioned many, many times. Amen. And if you wanted to get a little further, you can look at Jude, and Jude will tell you there's an eternal fire. But we're not preaching on that. We're in the book of Hebrews. So we won't get into that tonight. I want to give you this, and then we'll close with another thing. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. The book of Hebrews is filled with warnings. Now I challenge every child of God in here, you may think you're pretty good, and you may think that you're holding good and strong. And you may look at yourself and say, praise God, I'm better than old so-and-so down yonder. Hey, amen, I don't chew tobacco and don't cuss, and he does. And you measure yourself up to them and get your own righteousness and look at those things. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Everybody in this building is weak. And if we're not careful, we'll fall. I don't care how strong we are, we'll fall. So the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, is giving us some things. In chapter number 2, he looks at us and says in verses 1 through 3, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed. Now, see what he's saying? He's giving us a warning. We ought to, however, give a more earnest heed to what? To the things which we have heard. There's a bunch of we haves in the book of Hebrews. I won't give them to you tonight. Go home and read them. Which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He said, what we need to do is take an earnest heed. He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? He said, we need to take a more earnest heed. Understand that? So now he's given us a warning. Go over to chapter 5. The writer now gives us some other things that we ought to pay attention. Ever how strong you think you are tonight, or ever how strong you really are, you ought to take heed, amen, to the things that you have, lest you let them slip. So just looking in the wrong direction, getting cold and indifferent, you let the things that you already hold to, which we've heard the truth. But if you're not careful, you'll let the truth slip. Amen. That's where apostasy comes in. Now look, in chapter 5 and verse 11, he said, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." It seemed like some of these folks here at the church house here had gotten weak. They got dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. You know what it means to have being dull of hearing? Amen. Simple. You can't hear good no more. Amen. And did you know who usually catches that? Older people. Now let me just give you the little charge to this. Some of you saints has been in the church for years and years and years and have heard the truth. If you're not careful, you'll get dull to what you've heard down through the years, and your spiritual ears won't listen to the truth, and you'll start getting your own ideas. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. That's why he's saying this, and he's giving us a little allegory here. Look at verse 12. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Said, if you're not careful, you're old enough to be strong in the Lord, and you ought to be teachers, but you're not teachers because you're not strong enough. You're not strong for the meat, you're still on the milk. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." He's telling us out of the Word of God tonight that we need to be careful and make sure that we mature in the Lord. Amen. Now go to chapter 6 and verse number 4. The Bible said, "For it is impossible for those, we read this a while ago, who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame." Here's some warning. I mean, these people believe that you can lose your salvation. They believe that you... Listen, the only way you could do that and technically you do it, you'd have to have another sacrifice for your sin. Jesus would have to come and die again on the cross of Calvary. There is no more sacrifice for it to be given. Amen. We're going to look at some more of that in just a minute. Look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10, verse number 26. Chapter 10, verse number 26, the Bible said, "For if we sin willfully..." Notice this tonight. These are some Bible truths that I don't get on too many times, and most of the saints of God overlook them. Many preachers don't preach them. You know what willfully sinning is? Sinning knowing better. The Bible said, "He knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin." So when you know better and you sin anyhow, and many times you do, brother, the Bible said here in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth," after you know better, he said, "there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." You understand? What happens? Judgment's got to fall. That's why men and women can sin the sin unto death. And you can pray for them all day long, and God's not going to raise them up because He's taken them out. Amen. You've had loved ones, and I have too. No doubt that they've filled a premature grave because of willful sin. Let me tell you something, saints of God. If you know that you're doing something wrong, and the Holy Spirit's telling you that you're doing it wrong, and you're being convicted of it in the wee hours of the night or when you're doing that, let me just warn you right now, if you are saved by the grace of God, One of these days, God's going to move in on you. Brother, He's going to bring judgment on you. And you're a stumbling block, and God will take you out of this world. That's what they did, what Paul said to the fellow in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. He so got right with God later, but I'm telling you, brother, that's about where some of the saints of God have come to. And I believe sometimes when death and sickness gets a hold of them, and God just cuts their days short simply because they're not going to repent. Amen. Now, that's a Bible teaching that we could stay on for a while, but we'll not do that tonight. Now, go with me. Well, let's read on. The Bible said, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You remember Korah and that crowd? It rose up against the man of God. God opened the earth and He swallowed him up. Amen. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be? Shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot? That's what you do when you sin him willfully. You trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Saints of God, I don't believe people recognize that when you sin against God, you're sinning against holiness. And you taking your own righteousness in the hand. And what you're doing tonight is that you are really trampling the blood of Christ under your feet. Hear me? That's why I preach against sin. That's why I preach righteousness and holiness. Because that's what God expects. Chapter 12, verse 15 said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He's given some warning for bitterness. He said in verse number 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I mean, selling out for nothing. Sell out to this world. You'll pay the price. Verse 17, for you know how that afterward when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In other words, God's saying you can get to the place that you want to repent and can't repent, and you even cry and pray and cry and pray. Understand it? God put that in the Word. I didn't. Now, go back to chapter 4, verse 1. I'll come through with this and we'll go home. Praise God. We're going to look at the lettuce. Amen. You know the book of Hebrews is full of lettuce? Or lettuce? Let's look at the lettuce. Amen. That ain't the kind you make a salad out of either. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, and I'm not going to expound on these, I'm just going to give them to you. Jot them down. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of eternity, of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We better pay attention to what we're doing. Let us therefore fear. I believe the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, according to the Word of God. Chapter 4, verse 11. He said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. In chapter number 4, and verse 14, He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mark these. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That don't mean without sin. It means maturity. It means to get to the place that you're mature in the Lord. Not laying aside, again, the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Chapter 10, verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22 said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. See that? Chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without what? Wavering. Amen. Not even to waver. In chapter 10 and verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're to consider one another. You ain't supposed to be selfish. Amen. In chapter number 12 and verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us, two let us is in that one, let us what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Chapter 12 and verse number 28, the Bible said, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Chapter 13 and verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp bearing His reproach. Chapter 13 verse 15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. You see that? We can preach on every one of them. But those are in the Word. Brother, the book of Hebrews is giving, this is just giving us a little overall view. Just a little, because there's a lot more. And then you could go and start breaking down all the chapters. You find it, brother. We'll find in the book of Hebrews, you got a greater salvation, a great high priest, a greater tabernacle, a great fight of afflictions, a great recompense of reward, a great cloud of witnesses, and a great shepherd of the sheep. All in that book. Amen. I mentioned something about the we haves. We have heard. We have a great high priest. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, he said. We have many things to say. We have an anchor of the soul. We have spoken. Amen. We have received the knowledge of the truth. We have a better enduring substance in heaven. We have had fathers of our flesh. We have an altar. And we have a good conscience toward God. Amen. Look all them up and you get home. Give you some homework. Amen. It'll help you. You'll learn all that will help. It just strengthens your soul. Thank God tonight. Appreciate the book of Hebrews, don't you? That's a start anyhow. Let's bow our heads and call on the Lord. That's a start. Amen. This old book is a blessing to me. It's a strength to me. It's an encouragement to me. It's a blessing. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, it's not a curse. It's a blessing. Amen. All right. Thank God we got a better country. Let's stand tonight. Got a better inheritance. An eternal one. Thank God for the Word.